Holly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Do you feel it, Mr. David? It's the last Bears Monday, buddy. Last Bears Monday without Caleb Williams.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, happy Monday. It is draft week, thankfully, because it was quite a weekend otherwise. So there's something to look forward to in a positive way. Very difficult weekend. The Bulls and the Blackhawks have their season-ending press conferences on Saturday after the Bulls' disaster Friday night. The Cubs lose a series 2-2 to the Marlins. Boy, that was bad. And the White Sox, do we even mention the White Sox? Everybody knows what happened in Philly. I just don't know how many runs did they end up scoring and were we right?
God. They didn't score a run for what they were. They got shut out and then they got no hit for like seven and a third innings.
Two nights in a row.
Yeah.
You're watching the White Sox thinking, okay, are they going to get no hit tonight? So it is with pleasure that we look forward to Thursday. It is with a little excitement, enthusiasm, and dare I say optimism that we look toward the Bears draft. We've been talking about it for a very long time. Draft week has arrived, and it couldn't come any sooner.
I love that in the bleachers on Friday, everyone just started chanting, Caleb Williams.
Right. It reflects the fan base, right? It seems like eons ago that there was the debate, there was the argument, there was the Justin Fields camp, the Caleb Williams camp, due diligence and the background checking. I think what's happened now is that the fun is back. You know, the fun, it can be fun to be a Bears fan. Embrace the possibility because it's a big week to think big. This is as good as it gets for the Bears fans because it's a challenge to find the last time, or maybe it's a good debate. We'll talk about it. When was the last time you felt this encouraged or hopeful as a Bears fan?
Probably when Justin Fields was drafted.
Do you think so?
No. That was fraught with peril. That was people on their way out the door allowed to make a move, allowed to stay, and allowed to make a franchise-changing move that was insane.
There was a counter to that argument, right?
Yes.
There was like, okay, we can get excited about Justin Fields. Boy, doesn't he provide some breathtaking highlight reel plays. But what are they doing with him? Should he sit? Should he? There was controversy. There was doubt. There was a divided camp, even internally. This isn't that.
Andy Dalton.
No. This is everybody on the same page, headed in the right direction, the same direction. The yelling has subsided. The arguing has stopped. You can have fun this week.
Yeah, this should be a really fun week because the draft belongs to the Bears. They've got the number one overall pick, and the mystery is what are they going to do at number nine? We're hearing all sorts of different things that are rumored to happen. Are they going to move up? Are they going to move down? Are they going to stay put? It's just it's a real kind of head-scratcher. I mean, in other words, we don't know. I don't mean it's confusing. I just mean it's not yet known, but what is known is Caleb Williams is coming to Chicago.
And because of that reality, because of that inevitability, the ninth selection, the conversation surrounding that makes it all the more, exciting and relevant. Relevance is the word, I think. And what they do at nine is worthy of debate. We'll have it all week long, but it matters so much because the Bears are getting the best quarterback that's been available in several years. I don't want to get carried away. People depending, they'll say the best since Trevor Lawrence, the best since Andrew Luck. I've heard all of those things. But Caleb Williams, the more you hear from him, the more you want to hear.
I totally agree. The stuff that he's saying is great. I saw a thing online. That's not his real phone screen grab, is it? They have a thing of him. His plans are to be drafted number one and to win eight Super Bowls. Is that real?
He said that. I don't think the screen grab. I'm not quite sure.
I just like the idea of it. That's all.
It is a cool idea. All I know about the screen grab, according to the reporting, Dan Weider had a nice story on Sunday's Tribune, and he mentioned that. Remember, Ryan Poles' son was distraught over trading Justin Fields because he had the poster, and after some YouTube highlights, I think that Mason is the child's name. is now on board with Caleb Williams and now has his phone screensaver on his computer, something to that effect, because Caleb Williams has on his phone, as he said on the Pivot interview, that he has a reminder of his goals, and yes, it's just a daily kind of missive that he just looks at every day and says, okay, this is keep him moving in the right direction. So that's pretty cool. And you're going to hear stuff like that. And the more you hear of it, like, the more you're impressed by Caleb Williams.
So I was messing around in my little home studio over the weekend. I just cleaning some stuff up, and I got to get my Comrex box checked out, etc. Because we're going to be working on Saturday. We've got a special draft show on Saturday. We can have Kevin from Palatine call in and claim that I was saying things about the White Sox pitcher that I never said.
Oh, thanks for listening. I couldn't remember that either.
I never said it. You know how skeptical I've been about Garrett Crochet? I said it was great that they were starting him, but I didn't think it was going to – whatever, who cares?
Okay.
But I was down there, and I started listening to just old tapes of Bear stuff while I'm going around cleaning stuff and moving stuff around. And I'm listening to Matt Eberflus down in Florida, and he's asked a question about the draft. This is at the owners' meetings. And he said something to the effect that, well, the two questions you ask with every draft pick is how will it affect or how will it help the quarterback? Those are the questions. The question, and he's not talking about drafting a quarterback in Justin Fields. He's talking about how you look at draft picks. In other words, the most important position on the field, whether you have someone who can play it or not, is the one that all of your decisions are based upon, be it how does he stop the quarterback on defense, how does he impede what the quarterback wants to do as a defender, or how does he aid in protecting and being a weapon for, in being a target for the quarterback.
That's a good point. I mean, it's Flusie, that was at the owners' meetings,
yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
That's how long he's been looking forward to
Yeah, I
this.
Just I don't know why it didn't jump out at me when I listened to it at the owners' meeting, but as I was, you know, months later just listening to it, I thought to myself, it's so true. Like, every decision you're making in football is gotta be about how your team is impacted at that position.
Well, it's intentional. Everything about this offseason has been intentional, and it's been revolved around the fact that they're getting that quarterback now. And as ready as they have been, or as much as they have prepared their roster for this moment, I think that we can safely say that there's never been a situation that a number one overall quarterback has come into like this.
Right.
This is the most conducive situation, environment for success that a number one overall quarterback has ever had, because of the defense that Matt Eberflus, you know, was allowed to continue to run, because of the weapons they went out and got, because of just the way they have handled free agency. And now all they need is that missing piece. So that's what's exciting about it, because most times you get the number one pick, your team is struggling. The Bears feel like they're one quarterback away from being a playoff team.
Well, I mean, here's hoping, right? I mean, that sounds like a plan, and that sounds great. I am very interested in how that plays out on Thursday night, starting on Thursday night, because obviously you're going to take him, but that second pick, are they going to help him by getting him a weapon? Are going to help him by getting him protection, or are they going the other way, and are they going to get him a defense that can get him better field position, knock down the quarterback, et cetera?
I can't wait for Dave Wannstedt tomorrow morning to elaborate on what we talked about. We did a draft special on NBC Sports Chicago on Sunday night, and I talked about how if the ninth pick, and if you're Ryan Poles, you have to consider strongly if four quarterbacks go off the board, one through four, and you're sitting there and it's the fifth pick on the clock, you have to consider strongly moving up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then there's a shot of Dave on set, on camera, like he just had something, like he had a bad sushi for dinner.
Well, they've told us already that he wants to get the best defensive player on the board, and he thinks they need another pass rusher. That the pass rush is not there yet,
and that he would maybe move down and trade down, and then be in a position to draft a center. And you know, as much as that, both would be considered extremes. I would think moving down out of that position and then ending up with a center is the extreme end on this side of it. And frankly, what my suggestion is, moving up and trading, you know, next year's first round draft pick and other draft capital you may have to get Marvin Harrison Jr. is a bold extreme example of the other end of the spectrum. The point is, in between, there's a lot of room for conversation and a lot of possibilities. So you could take the best player, defensive player off the board. You could end up with a wide receiver and just stay at 9, pick Rome Odunze, and you'd still be laughing.
I agree. The Marvin Harrison thing, that it feels like fantasy football. I mean, it's just, I love the idea of it. I've heard a lot of the different ideas about it and what it would take, but it probably would take your draft capital from next year. It would definitely be more, you wouldn't be coming out of the draft with much more than him, which, I mean, you could argue, if he's as good as we think he is, if you feel like you're coming out of the draft with the two best players in it, I think that's just an extraordinary, again, you know, the Bears once drafted Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus in the same draft.
We'd be making that comparison.
Well, I suppose that year, we would.
Well, at least
Hall of Fame material.
And you're looking at two guys who, one in Caleb Williams is what we have just described, and two in Marvin Harrison Jr. that is considered by many people the best player in this draft.
Right.
If you get those two players on Thursday night, I feel like you won the draft.
Oh, it'd be unbelievable.
Because you have guys who are right away. Now, the argument could be, well, why would you need a wide receiver, a rookie wide receiver, when you have two guys coming off 1,200-yard seasons in terms of reception yardage in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore? I'm like, there's always room for more.
Yeah, because it's not about last year. It's about the next year and the year after that, mm-hmm. the year after that. I mean, if you were to come away with a tandem like that, or even Rome Odunze, if you sat there and he fell to you, I think that you would have something that you would be seeing in Chicago for a very long time. I mean, you know, it's not about the next year. It's not about the next draft. It's about the next decade. It's about the next great team. And the one thing that they have said repeatedly, if you just listen to Ryan Poles talk about players, he has said repeatedly, we want multipliers. We want guys who can enhance the play of the other guys around them. Certainly, that's part of the definition of a quarterback. If you're a quarterback, you've got to enhance the play of those around you. And if you have a chance to bring in another player who can be a multiplier, and I keep going back to it, they've got two on their roster. They got DJ Moore, and they've got Montez Sweat, and they traded for both of them. So pick yourself a couple of multipliers in the top 10 this year.
Multipliers are great, and I think that's a lot to ask, but you just even elite players or players considered elite at their position, I would also include, I don't know if it fits the profile of your typical multiplier, but Jalen Johnson makes the pass rush better, and he makes your safeties better. I think Tremaine Edmonds, he makes guys around him better because you have this elite athleticism or the skill set that does that and allows you to say that. So what you need is the offensive
maybe
equivalent.
Maybe Brisker does that.
Brisker, in a way, is like is that guy.
Tyler Gordon be that guy this year if he steps up a little?
All you've done is you've increased how many blue players you have in scouting terms. And what you want to do at 9 is get another one of those guys. And if you have to move up to get somebody that you think is blue plus or whatever you want to describe Marvin Harrison Jr. as, I don't know that you are – hell-bent on doing it, but you have to have that conversation and you have to anticipate that moment. And that's all I'm saying is that as we sit here Monday morning anticipating Thursday night, the most fun draft that we're going to cover in a very long time, they've got to go through all these simulations, and that's got to be one of them. What happens if the first four picks are quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, listen, And you're right. It is the most fascinating idea that's out there. And it's hard not to be seduced by it. But part of what you have to do, and they feel like they did a very good job of attacking the positions that they needed to address in free agency, right? They got a safety, which they had lost. They released their safety for a reason. He wasn't earning the money, Eddie Jackson, sadly. And now they bring in Byard, and you look at a guy like that, and they really like him, and they really think he's going to solve one of their problems. They brought in not one center, but two. They replaced both guys that they used last year at center, right? That Lucas Patrick, long gone, mm-hmm. and out with the offense coordinator. And, of course, our Cody Whitehair is out with the offense coordinator. Lucas Patrick also gone. And they brought in not one, but two players at that position.
And they may draft somebody who makes both of those guys depth pieces. Okay. You don't know, but that's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that if they do it. But my point is simply they kind of addressed the biggest holes that they had on their team. So that gives them the leeway to kind of figure out who is the best player at number nine.
You don't want to go into a draft needing to draft for need. You want to go getting the best player available. That's always the luxury. Not every team has, but I think the Bears are in that situation this year when they get Caleb Williams one and whatever they do on nine.
And if they end up trading down, taking a pass rusher and trying to get more stuff, it's going to be hard for me not to feel like they did not get the pass rusher in free agency and then they had to do it in the draft.
I don't think we're going to come in Friday morning disappointed by anything or complaining, but I do believe that there will be a tinge of disappointment if at the number nine spot, Roger Goodell goes to the stage and he reads that the Bears have traded the pick, or we see it flash on the crawl, because it's an opportunity I would think that you have not taken advantage of, depending on who you end up with, but that's going to be a little deflating if they do that.
A friend of mine I talked to over the weekend said he thinks there's 15, 16, half of the first round is going to be really good players. Mm-hmm. So you could trade down a little bit.
You could.
You know, you could. But, I mean, is that what you want? You just kind of – I don't know how – I'm very excited. I'm very pumped up for this draft, and it's draft week.